like that.
Yes. How many years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Thank you for coming to our Community Services District meeting. At this time, if you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Hey. Thank you. Okay, this brings us to public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is called before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up, speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board will go through the chair. Is there any public comment? Come on up. Right there, young man.
Me and my friends, we were...
Can you pull the microphone down a little bit so people can hear you?
Me and my friends were asking for a skate park because one of the reasons that we want a skate park is so that we can just, like, get out of, like, all the crime and stuff. So, like, we can just get off the streets and just enjoy and, like, the skate park and just have fun with our friends. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? We will close public comment.
Explain to them how that works, yeah. So they don't just think they weren't heard. You know what I mean? Okay, you know what I mean? Just make them feel.
I guess I should. You guys don't know how this works. Your comments come to us as a comment only, and if it's something that we're able to do or able to act on, then the board will act on it. But there's no comment to be back and forth between the people that comment. But we did take your comments seriously, and I thank you for bringing them to us.
We heard you, and we appreciate you guys coming. We'll take it into consideration.
Thank you. All right, presentations, Rick, anything?
Not this evening.
Okay, we have area agency reports. We'll start with the Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Beltran.
I have a resident deputy, Mike Shepard.
You've got bodyguards, huh?
Don't know me, I'm Deputy Michael Scheffner, one of the resident deputies in Discovery Bay. Just go over what's going on in the last month in the town. One thing that most folks will notice is we have had an increase in residential burglaries. Last month we were down to one, and unfortunately we're back up to four. So we'll be doing our best, being proactive and being seen, but again, the best way for us to be proactive is for the community, for involvement as far as calling in vehicles or persons, loitering, those types of things. One issue that's kind of been kind of brought up is there's some palm trees that caught on fire near the community center. If anyone sees kids kind of loitering in that area, please call us, because if they're in an area that's kind of out of sight, they're probably up to no good. So dark areas, places that are kind of off the beaten path, please call us so we can come up there and just make sure that they're not doing what they shouldn't be doing. Is there any questions regarding?
Any leads at all on the residential burglaries?
Nothing at this time, but everything's still being ongoing. I believe we have some fingerprints recovered, so we agree to those be processed. But nothing really solid at this point.
On the suspicious fire, did you have some leads on that?
We have a witness that saw a juvenile leaving the area. We have that juvenile's name, so we're in the process of contacting them, and we're working with the fire to see what we can develop off those leads.
Sure. Any questions, Mary Ann?
No, thank you.
Chris?
No.
Public comment? That was easy. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Safe, thank you.
Officer Brewer, California Highway Patrol. Nice to see you.
Same, same. I'm Eric Brewer with the Highway Patrol. You guys know me. I come to the meetings. This is my last meeting, though, and Officer Thomas here is taking over.
Welcome.
So he's worked out here a long time. I'm sure most of you have seen him. He always takes the beat out here. So he's been reassigned to our community response team, and he's on that full time now. So he's off the beat, and he'll be out here. Again, he has other parts of the county, but he'll dedicate at least a good 3, 4, 5 or more days a month out here, solely doing traffic enforcement, writing tickets for you guys, and addressing all the traffic complaints that you have. He's familiar with all the problem areas out here, so he knows the places to work. He's been working out here all day today writing tickets. He was selected out of the interview process. There were 10 officers that interviewed for the position and he was chosen, so he stood above everyone else by far. So he has the stats for last month for you, so I'll introduce you to him.
Thank you very much. Where are you heading off to?
Marin.
Oh, lucky you.
So.
Good luck. And thanks.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Hello again, Donnie Thomas. I'll be your rep here now from here on out. The stats for this month, for the month of January, we had one DUI arrest in Discovery Bay. We had 2 collisions that took place. And the total number of sites that was written last month was 69 sites. I talked to senior volunteers. We're going to try to get the radar trailer out here a little bit more. We've been doing about 2 days a month on average. Kind of floats around and all over the county, so I'm trying to do what I can to get you guys to see a little bit more out here. But, if you have any questions, I'm at the office.
Is that amount of citations normal, up or down?
You know, that's kind of average a little bit. When I've been out here, it's been a little bit higher because I kind of live out in the area and stuff like that, so kind of do a little more enforcement stuff. But it's pretty close to the average, maybe 10 more, you know, about average. So.
Any questions?
Any questions or anything?
No. Nope. How was today's enforcement?
Today's enforcement, I had a couple things over on Newport. You know, Newport's a getter out there with the speed issues, the 25. And then over on Marsh Creek, a little people can call in about that, so they're hitting that. But it's, you know, it's
normal day.
Normal. Consistent, I guess.
Hey, 1 second, Virgil. Kevin, anything?
Nope.
No, thank you.
Virgil?
We have a message board that has a radar unit on it, and so we've been deploying that throughout the community. We had it on DD Boulevard today, and so to help you all out, because I know your radar, yours in the counties, are pretty scarce. Mm-hmm. And so if you need it on the streets, we have ours, and we move daily. We put it out there daily, but different streets, Newport, Clipper, maybe Willow Lake.
Yeah, Clipper, Newport, Willow Lake, those are good places to put that.
And that's where we've been doing. We've been moving it around.
Excellent.
All right, I'll be out.
Thank you. Any place that you put that board, we will not do any enforcement on that street while that board's out there. And we do that intentionally because it's against our radar policy to do that.
Okay.
For 2 reasons. That's a resource that's very valuable. We don't want to waste the resource of an officer in the exact same location, so they will go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Secondly, it becomes a conflict when there's a radar displayed on that speed, and let's say that is not calibrated that you
correct.
Have, and it's 1 or 2 miles an hour off, and we're writing tickets.
Right.
Not that 1 or 2 miles is going to make a huge difference if somebody gets a ticket, but
somebody could.
Somebody will complain, and then it becomes an issue. So we will always go somewhere else.
All
but
right.
Don't let that deter you from putting that wherever you
no,
want, as you see fit.
We believe it's working out very well.
Yeah.
Very good. But just as a note, wherever that is, we will not be on that street.
Okay. It's too bad. You'd be able to write up quite a few tickets.
I'm sure we could.
Thank you.
Any public comment? Thank you very much.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks.
Contra Costa Fire Chief Henderson.
Good evening, Board. Hugh Henderson with East Contra Costa Fire. A little update of the month of January for the district. The district had a total of 562 calls for the month of January with an average response time of 7 minutes and 4 seconds. As we went into for the calendar year of January, or for 2013, the district ran a total of 6,450 calls with an average response time of 7 minutes and 8 seconds. In the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were a total of 65 calls in the month of January with an average response time of 8 minutes and 5 seconds. When you compare that to December, there were 66 calls in the month of December with an average response time of 9 minutes and 15 seconds. In 2013, there were a total of 774 calls in the area with an average response time of 8 minutes and 54 seconds. District continues to rely on auto aid with Contra Costa Fire a lot, and our auto aid responses back and forth are maintaining about the same. In the month of January, we had to call and request help from Confire a total of 27 times with 32 engines sent to us. We assisted Confire a total of 21 times with 24 engines. At the board level, in the month of January, the district had 7 community meetings throughout the district. The attendance was about the same as when we did the community meetings in 2012, averaging about 20 folks per meeting across the district. The district received on Monday night some polling that was done by the Firefighters Union, showing that the overall response towards the tax measure in the district is pretty low. About 54% of the people would be in favor of any kind of parcel tax. The board's doing some serious thinking about what they're gonna do further on. Members of the residents of the district are gonna be receiving a mailer from the district with a postcard to return, looking for some additional information. The board will make a final decision on March 3rd at its board meeting whether to move forward with a parcel tax or not. If we don't move forward, as you guys are all well aware of, we'll be back into the same model we were prior to the grant being accepted, and around the 1st of December having to go back down to 3 stations and covering the district from there. Again, there'll be a lot more to follow when I come back at your March 5th meeting to give you an update where we are kind of moving with the board. With that, I'm available for questions.
Have you discussed a rolling, I'll call it a rolling brownout, where you keep all the stations active, however you roll through those? At one day this station might be closed, another day that station might be closed. That concept at all?
If we go back down to the 3-station model, with the way our district is set up and covering the 249 square miles, I don't think that is a viable option. What we did last time to provide the best service, after researching calls and everything, we basically drew a line down the center of the district, kind of going at a northeast direction from here, from there. So we kept the Discovery Bay station open on Bixler. We had the Balfour station open in Brentwood, and we had the Oakley station. That at least allowed us to kind of cover the district and move from there. When you get down to 3 engines covering 249 square miles, there's not a really good thing. Problem with the rolling brownouts that I see personally is that, one, your other crews don't always know where your crews are coming from. It confuses the dispatchers as they're trying to dispatch things. To me, it's a lot easier to try to keep things constant, because you can predict your responses a lot better.
All right,
thanks. Okay. So Hugh, it's meeting Monday night, but as the decision on what's 3 stations, and I want to thank you for your work and the awkward position you're in, and it's not pleasant for anybody, and I think you were as honest as you could have been on Monday night by saying we're just in a flat-out no-win position. I don't know how you could have made that clear, but it didn't seem to fall upon sympathetic ears. Is there a possibility of maintaining a higher staff level, even if we go to 3 stations? Is it possible to keep the current staff? No, it's because the staffing is the issue. So, when would the decision be made with regards to which 3 stations would be open? Would that be a decision that staff would recommend to the board, but the board has to finalize, or how's that going to work? Because obviously we have a vested interest in which stations stay open.
Using what we did last time is when we gave the closures, staff made the recommendation on the stations. I don't see changing anything in the staffing model that we did last time. It wasn't perfect by any shape or form, and it's never going to be perfect, but it covered the area the best as possible. You know, response times, especially creeped on the outer edges to the 15-minute range, so it, but it carried the overall portion of the district for those 4 months that we were doing that, keeping the average response time in the high eights. So we added district-wide a full minute. The outer areas got hit a little harder. The hard part is if you get multiple emergencies going on at the same time, which happens daily. Also, once you have a structure response, you're required, you know, we're sending five pieces of equipment. That's where we run into the issues, especially on the outer edges of the district. Using Discovery Bay as an example, that puts the fifth engine, if everybody's in quarters, coming from near the Lone Tree Golf Course at Blue Rock, Sutter Delta.
Auto 8
on the second engine, that's your fifth engine coming from there. That's a long drive. Without traffic or anything, it's a long drive. Again, you know, with the amount of area that the district covers, having that line is built as the operational or the bare minimum for three stations. For some of you that, you know, have been watching this for a long time, you know, the City Gate report came out in 2000 and late 4 2005 when it was talked and said this district needed to be at 10 stations to cover the area that we're doing back then before even the population did some of the big jumps that it did. So, I mean, we're behind the eight ball with five stations, but at least with five stations, we're covering the responses and maintaining a response time.
We talk about the stations 7 to 5 to 3. How do we continue to support CAL FIRE, and how come that ever gets mentioned as part of the model?
It's included in all the models. We only pay for the CAL FIRE engines for 6 months out of the year, and this year I think we're going to end up paying 3 months out of the year.
Okay, so that's a subsidized station.
Subsidized station. During the non-peak fire season, to use the state's proper terms, which we haven't hit yet this year, it doesn't seem like, that engine becomes another engine in district resource. So I can use the example at least five times in the month of January. One time it was out here covering, it covered Brentwood twice, and it covered Oakley twice, based on where emergencies are in the district.
Right. You got some out in Deer Ridge or Shadow Lakes or something, it makes sense because it's closer.
But anyway, what we end up doing is it's our resource during that. Once we go into wildland season or when they're not on our contract, we don't have any access to that engine like we normally do. That contract for covering that area is about $366,000 if we use all the allotted time. We only get charged for actual time. We'll see what this rain does in the next couple weeks. They're making it sound like it's going to be better than originally aimed, but the state is teetering right now that by April 1st, we're going to probably be back into full wildland season. We didn't go on to contract. We normally go on to contract with them November 1st. We didn't go on contract with them until December 20th this year.
So the good news, bad news is we save money because we haven't been on contract
right
with them.
You know, but this has been a unique year, as everybody's aware of, in the dryness. And in the month of January, we burned about 3 acres of grass, which is just absolutely unheard of. The largest fire was about a half acre in Oakley. And, you know, if you said you were going to do that in January and July, everybody would think you're crazy. It's just the conditions in there. You know, if we don't get any more rain, I guess the good news will be we're not going to grow any grass, so there'll be less of the annual grass fires there. However, the trees, the brush, and all that stuff is going to be extremely dry, because we're seeing conditions right now that are still late August conditions in February.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Public comment? Thank you, Chief.
Thanks again for what you guys are doing here.
Supervisor PFO's office, Karen.
Well, hopefully I have a little better news. news than that.
Did you bring rain with you?
No, but maybe Saturday. Commercial event. Just want to let you guys know a couple things. Maybe it's not such good news, but it's a way to have your voice heard. The draft beta for conservation plan EIS and EIR available for public review until April 14th, and you can provide comment on their website. It's up on the upper left-hand side under current info and events. To help you properly have effective comments, the Save the Delta Alliance is having a town hall next Wednesday, February 12th at 6:30 to help residents with submitting effective public comment on the BDCP and the draft EIR. Supervisor Pifo will be there and participating along the lines of the Delta as well. Supervisor Pifo is currently in Washington, D.C., advocating on behalf of the Delta with the Delta Counties Coalition, which is, again, the five Delta counties advocating together. Some good news, I'll get to that. I said I had good news, hopefully, but Standard & Poor's increased the county's rating at the end of December from AA to AAA, so that's good news for the county and you as residents. Want to just let you guys know, it may not affect you directly, but it may if you were planning to use these routes. That Caltrans is advising motorists to expect almost 2 months of overnight closures from State Highway 160 between Rio Vista and Antioch. They're going to be doing some bridge deck and control house rehabilitation project at Three Mile Slough. So again, those closures are from 8 to 5. They began on Monday. They say they canceled it tonight because of possibility of rain, so maybe it'll be canceled for a couple days, but just watch for that. So again, that's 8 p.m. to 5 from Wilbur, south of the Antioch Toll Bridge to the junction at State Route Highway 12, excuse me. More on the Delta Conservancy Board and the Delta Protection Commission are holding a joint free workshop, next Wednesday as well, to help with Delta businesses, agritourism groups, and organizations on marketing your Delta business. That is scheduled for Wednesday, February 12th from 8:30 to 11:30 at the Walnut Grove Library. And I'm sure you guys know because it's in your community, but the Wednesday 12th event from Save the Delta Alliance is going to be at the elementary school at 6:30. And lastly, we are continuing to, I would say, battle with illegal signs in your community and are working with Caltrans, Public Works, and Code Enforcement. So spread the word not to post illegal signs. Thank you.
Any questions?
How's the bike house project going through Brentwood right now?
It's going. I don't have a direct update, but I can get you one.
Okay. Call you. Thanks.
Public comment? Thank you, Karen. Okay. Do we have a transplant report? No. County Planning Commission report? No. Any code enforcement, Rick?
Yes. thank you. Karen alluded briefly to the sign issue, so I'll let that one, I'll skip that. But at the code enforcement meeting last week, there was discussion on the number of illegal construction projects going on in town, and that code enforcement is cracking down on illegal activities, but essentially people aren't getting building permits to do their work. So if you know people that are out there doing that, tell them that they are under the watchful eye of the county. And then the typical standard, usual boat trailers and motorhomes parked in driveways and front yards. That will be an ongoing issue and continue to be for the foreseeable and long-term future.
Thank you. There's no special districts report. That's quarterly. Okay. All right. We'll move on to the consent calendar. I'm going to pull item 3 for discussion for Bill. Other than that, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item 3, F3.
Yeah, the only issue I had with it, it's on the, we've termed the closure called a winter closure. This is on the resolution for changing employees' days off, et cetera. My question is that, I think the Christmas holiday as a name is more traditional. I have no problem with it. And I'm just feeling if the board feels like I do, and maybe instead of a winter closure, we stay with the traditional Christmas holiday.
I'd be in favor of that.
I don't have any problem with it.
You know, as a general manager, I am being, I'm playing that line of political correctness, so it is absolutely your discretion.
That I want all 8 days of Hanukkah off.
We'll take that.
Perfect.
All right, so Christmas holiday. Do we need to make a change, or is that something?
Do you need to be voted on?
In the motion, you would need to make the motion to adopt it subject to that change.
So moved.
And seconded.
Any discussion? Any public comment? All right. Galen, come on up.
No.
On that very same line, this is a policy that's supposed to be in effect for a number of years, I think. The winter closure from the beginning the 26th of December and including the 31st, some years that includes 5 work days. It says here 4.
It always includes 4 work days. If you look at the calendar, it's a standard 4 work day because you have the Christmas holiday, the New Year's holiday, and a weekend in between, and there's 6 days. But the weekend is 4 days. You always have 4 days.
Check your calendar for 2016.
Any other comment? In that case, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. We'll close consent. New business, item G. We're going to pull item 1, lift station. No, we're not pulling. We are pulling lift station. We're not pulling lift station.
We're pulling item number 2, the establishment of Community Center Foundation.
Right. Sorry, I missed it by 1. In that case, Rick, item G1, lift station award.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Gregory Harris, your district engineer, is here to discuss this. But this is the award of bid for the construction component of lift station F. As you know, you've approved a number of projects or a number of components of this in the past, the pumps, the integration, the SCADA controls, and this is the final component of that project. Now that those pumps are in order and the SCADA controls are in order, to be able to go ahead and put that pump station together through the construction bid that was open last week. There were 5 bidders on that, and I will allow Greg Harris to go ahead and explain what happened and what the process was.
So we received our 5 bids, and there was one low bidder, James Cook Construction or Roger Cook Construction. That was very much lower than everybody else. They were in there at $331,000. And the next lowest bid was $410,000. You have the amount?
$410,000.
So, you know, we liked the price on the low bidder, but we went to check references, went to check the work to make sure they meet the minimum requirements of the contract to receive the work. One of the most important requirements is that they've actually built a pump station before. That was very clearly specified out in the bid documents. However, in the references for pump stations, they wrote none. They have not done one in the bidding documents. And I spoke to Mr. Roger Cook on the phone, and he also told me they had not physically built the pump station before. So in reviewing that experience requirement, reviewing the bids, it didn't look to me like his bid properly accounted for all the work that was going to take place. Therefore, I recommended rejection of the low bid, which is a first for Discovery Bay. We haven't done that before. And award to the second place bidder, in this case, to be Coke & Coke Constructors. I did check their references, and they have done several pump stations, pump station bypasses and things. It still isn't their primary line of work, but they've done enough pump stations that you couldn't say they couldn't do the job. The bidding, other than the first bidder, the bids are all very tight. They range from $410,000 to $425,000. That was it on 4 bids. So that was a very tight bid, and it appeared that the other 4 bidders were well aware of what was required for the project. So at this time, we're recommending award to Cook and Cook. But part of that recommendation is the rejection of the low bid as non-responsive from Roger Cook Construction. I believe that wording is, you want to follow the wording of the staff report on that action. That's the bid, and that's going to happen. It's important that we award this project as soon as possible, and that the construction schedule takes place while school is out, and the contractor needs time to obtain materials, prepare work, and be ready for that period of time. If you recall, last time the engineer's estimate was $325,000, so the apparent bid is $90,000 over the engineer's estimate. We are doing our best to recover those costs on other projects to make sure the master plan projects stay on budget. One element that we were doing is we were able to save money on the award for the SCADA system from Veolia. That award was for $114,000. We got that down to $95,000. So that's actually what we're executing the contract for with Veolia. So we saved some money there. And we'll look towards other locations to save money, make sure we stay on budget with the master plan.
On that item with respect to the budget, we've discussed this and at the staff level recommend that since this is an item that is over budget from the engineer's estimate, and it is one of the bond funded projects, so we continue to track it as we have the other bonds and not necessarily allocate additional funds to it right now at this point in time. Let's want to see where it comes out at the end, and we'll go ahead and balance it out at the end of the year.
Questions? Yeah, just you were going right down where my question was. I only had one question. I understand it's very difficult to take a concept and try to put numbers to it. You got to use history. But a 25% miss, I'm just kind of, you know, what didn't we see, or what do you think? Where was the, I guess?
I think the biggest miss is it's very difficult on a retrofit project where you're not building a lot of new stuff that's high labor. So, you know, when it's all retrofit and it's all labor, it's much easier to estimate something like, oh, I'm going to buy this or I'm going to build this from scratch. It's the clear to estimate. But it's more difficult to say, I have an existing something and we're just going to start cutting saws and ripping holes in and repainting and things like that. We also wanted to make sure we were covered with the bypass that has to occur. So we put in added safety features that originally weren't entitled to part of the project. So we put monitoring in the manholes around the lift station and in the community so that if there's a problem at the lift station during construction, we're automatically alerted to that. So that was an add that added about $20,000 to the project right there. But in working with the staff and Furman and Virgil, we said, you know, we really don't want to miss on the bypass construction of the pump station. So, you know, other than it's my job to make these estimates, you know, it's just a difficult estimate to make in terms of just looking at it from the outside. Because when I added it up, I'm like, oh, we should be safe here. But the different contractors, obviously, and they all saw it the same way. I mean, you look at them, they're all, you know, when the bids are that tight, they all saw it the same way. That's what the cost is. All right.
Thank you.
Mary Ann, any questions?
No, thank you.
Kevin?
Nope, thanks, Greg.
Chris?
No, thank you.
Public comment?
Just so the board knows, I do plan to notify the residents on that area within a block or two to let them know that construction is about to take place and the inconvenience it may cause them, where we'll have pickup trucks and whatever parked in their front of their houses, because a lot of people get nervous when they see a pickup truck parked in front of their house during the day, that type of thing. So we will be doing an outreach to the community right around in that area.
And what's the time frame for this?
We are going to issue award, if you approve, to the contractor tomorrow and request bonds and insurance. They would be under contract and notice to proceed right around the end of February. And they can proceed with minor work on site, prep work and stuff. They'll be reordering materials and things starting at the end of February. And then rolling into March and April, there might be some light activity on site. And then as we get closer towards school being in and out, I believe it's June 9th, something like that. School's out, so rolling into May through May, they'll start working heavily on site, and then we're going to actually start the bypass June 9th, as soon as school's the next day. After school's out, we'll start the bypass, and they'll be working heavily on the site during that 8-week period while school's out to do the heavy retrofitting and heavy lifting. We'll be on bypass at that time, and then they'll be able to clean up at the end.
I'm curious how much rain we're going to have between now and
right in the middle of it.
Yeah, right in the middle of it.
Well, we hope that the rain won't be the impact on us. It is obviously the raw sewage. You don't want that to back up. And hence why we are trying to put alarms in the manholes to alert us if the levels do rise and we can respond and do some things to correct that.
What? Just a suggestion on vehicles. And I don't have a clue on how many, construction vehicles will be there versus employees' vehicles. If there's folks that are driving there, not in a company truck that needs to be right there, maybe we could ask them to park in the community center parking lot, and they can just have one of the guys pick them up and just shuttle them over there to keep some of the vehicles off the street.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You know, they have to have a staging area, so we're going to stage them at Treatment Plant 1 and let them go out the back door, you know, down the dirt road and back down Marina. So we're going to stage them at Treatment Plant 1, and I think we'll go over with them, you know, the limited site access. It, you know, we've made it clear you can't block access, some things like that. There will be times they have to close one lane, I suspect, to, you know, like for the pull their crane in and some things like that. Yeah. So, and they have to get a county encroachment permit and some other things. So, yeah, definitely, that's a good point to make sure the employee vehicles aren't parked all over the place. So.
Yeah, put them in a spot that's convenient.
I would move for staff recommendation as written in the agenda report.
Second.
Any further discussion? Public comment? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thanks, Gregory. Okay, we're pulling item 2. That'll come back at a later date, which takes us to G3, agency comment request and land use permit application LP14-2003, Hoffman Holdings LP.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is very similar to the items of these type that you've seen in the past. It's an interagency request for comments from our board to the county community development department. There is an application for a proposed wine bar, wine and cheese bar, called, I'm not sure what it's called, to be honest with you.
Premium cheese, I guess.
At 1520 Discovery Bay Boulevard, that's the location of the Delta Valley Athletic Club. As I understand it, the site is on the back side of that building and would be their area would essentially face the Valero, the Dash parking area, face the back of the Dash.
Yeah, that's behind the bank.
Right. And so the county is looking for any comments that the board may have. The whole package is here for you to review. And if you have any questions, I'm not sure if the folks in the audience are part of that.
We are.
Okay, I thought that might be the case. So I'm assuming that if you have any questions, they might be the ones that can answer them.
Well, did they bring any samples?
Yeah, we were going to.
First of all, is there any comment from the board?
I would like to just ask the applicant a little quick verbal on what your concept is.
Sure, so we'd like to feature...
Come on up.
Oh, sure. I'll introduce myself too. I'm Alyssa. I actually grew up here, and then... I'm in Galt now, but so we'd like to do a variety of different wines, also Craftsman beers, and both on tap and by bottle. We'll do small plates that will complement the wine and the beer, like charcuterie with meats, cheeses. We'll do local nuts, dried fruits, honeys. We really just want to bring the town of Discovery Bay a wine bar that kind of has a similar focus to Napa and Lodi, with really a comfortable setting with an approachable elegance here. Our main objective is just to bring a dignified establishment here to the community and something that we don't have here already. So if there's any questions, we'd love to answer.
What type of hours are you looking at? This is,
you know, we're still debating now, but...
Probably 3 to 10, 11 at the latest.
The other question I would have is, I know they have the wine bar in Brentwood, I go in there once in a while, and they have entertainment on the weekends. Are you planning entertainment, or is...
We are. Light entertainment. We want to make sure it's not too loud for the community.
It's not a very big spot, so we don't have a whole lot of options there. So.
Yeah, maybe like a single guitarist or a jazz player. We want to make sure that, again, it doesn't interfere, because on the backside there with the Valero, it would interfere with the residents. We don't want it to be too loud at all.
So, on the outside where the door is going to that building, you're going to put a patio on the outside, is that what?
There's an area back there that's just empty right now, yeah. So we're going to fence an area off. So basically we have the fence that's on the Valero with the building, so we'll fence it off. It's going to be about 28 by 20,
yeah.
And then we'll landscape that and kind of have a little sitting area.
The patio.
Are you going to feature Lodi wines and Brentwood wines, or...?
Yeah, as much as we can.
Yeah.
Whoever will work with us.
Yeah, I just
love
downtown Lodi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it here.
Yeah. We're there too often, so we'd like to bring it here, so we don't have to venture out anymore. And it's called Unwind.
Unwind.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
The name. Yeah.
Any questions, Kevin? Marianne?
No.
Bill?
So time-wise, you'll be maybe Tuesday through Sunday, or
probably Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, depending on football season, sure. Perhaps we'll incorporate Mondays, but just depending on kind of hours that goes and traffic.
All right.
I mean, we just want to get a little bit more foot traffic into that area instead of everyone having to constantly venture out. So.
Wish you the best.
Thanks.
Just curious, for those of us that might want to visit your establishment, when do you plan on opening?
Yeah, we hope soon. Or we hope that you will, actually.
Once we get the approval from here, and then we just have to wait for the county. They're saying maybe less than 3 months we'll be able to get a building permit.
Yeah.
Summer, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully June.
Any public comment?
We have a great event in June, a wine stroll and concert that we could use a sponsor for. So
July.
Good girl.
Absolutely. Haven't even made a profit yet.
Yeah, I mean, again, we want to incorporate the community as much as we can. I mean, I know we still do the Christmas events throughout. I mean, just anything that we can really.
Maybe you could ask the supervisor's office to help expedite. It seems like a long time for 3 months to get a permit. Maybe you could ask someone.
Not getting any help.
Check with the supervisor's office. They might be able to make a phone call or something to kind of see what's happening.
I think Karen's in the back of the room listening.
So you might want to give Karen a bottle of wine.
Yeah. I'd check with Karen back there.
We have no negative comments at all. So we'll send a letter accordingly that we have no negative comments. We're not against it. Good luck to you.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you all there.
Okay.
Hopefully see you rather than later.
Best of luck.
Mr. President,
you
will need a motion.
Oh, yes. Could I please get a motion to send a letter of
No negative comment.
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, please, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item G4. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Karen Perez is here, our Parks and Landscape Manager, to go over the calendar of events for the community center and our parks and some of our other facilities. You saw a preview of this at the workshop on Saturday. This is coming to you for more of a formal review of it, and you can take an action if you want. You can take it as just information. You can approve the events. You can approve the events with considerations. It's up to you. But the list is attached. It's the same list that you saw on Saturday. The one item that we didn't get to changing just because the agenda package went out was that we will be adding to the schedule
the Great
American Campout that would take place in June. So with that, and well, before we go there, I want one other thing to talk about with your department. Dan Mewis is our new Parks and Recreation Coordinator. Dan comes from the Livermore Parks and Recreation District. You've been on board, what, about 3 weeks now?
Yep.
And we're happy to have him. So I wanted to bring him aboard.
Congratulations.
Glad
to have you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Welcome aboard.
All you.
So I am hoping for a couple things tonight with this event calendar. One is to answer any questions regarding the events on the calendar, any specifics that I may be able to assist with. Secondarily, I am hoping that you guys can come to some agreements with or without comment on whether or not these dates and event types seem appropriate for the community. We would like to be able to schedule this on our calendar and block off these dates and times so that we can coordinate our summer programs, private parties, and make sure that we're not that everything's scheduled properly. So before we do that, we don't want to, you know, go down the path and block something off if it's not going to happen. All of the events on the list, again, we missed the Great American Campout, which would be held at Cornell Park on June 28th to June 29th. That's an overnight event. That would come back to you, as well as any of the events where we're requesting alcohol to be served. Any of the public events whose costs are not going to be met by the funds received for the event itself, or any events which are not added on this calendar that are anticipated to exceed 500 participants in the future. with that, that's just kind of a summary of what we're doing. Are there any specifics on the events themselves that you guys had some questions on?
Any questions, Marianne?
I have none, thank you.
Just one, and that's the Festival of the Trees. And it looks like it's going to be a fundraiser. I can't determine which group is putting that together. Is that the
That would be for the town itself. So there's a couple events on here that we don't have. They're all town sponsored. So these would be events that we would be hosting. We'd be promoting. There are many of them which are in partnership with other groups like the Delta Sun Times or the Discovery Bay Lions Clubs. Most of those work in the partnership would be like for the car show, Rocktoberfest.
Right.
That's mostly put on by the Lions Club. But we're in partnership. The rest of them, which don't show a sponsor, are with the town. Whether we seek a sponsorship later or a partnership with another group to share funds or, you know, to cover the cost of that event, it is something that we would be promoting ourselves.
Yeah, I would just trying to see if there's any, I don't know, if there's any legal issue of the town hosting a fundraiser and, you know, not getting public and without a nonprofit. I'm not against it by any means, but I just don't know if there's an issue there at all without having a
charging of the fee to come in.
Dan, can you give a comment on that?
So there's no issue if the town hosts a fundraiser and sells tickets to baskets and all that without having a nonprofit, 501c or whatever it is involved.
Nothing prevents you from raising money. The best example is the community center. You will most likely be renting that out from time to time. In fact, you can't give it away.
Right.
So you can charge in order to make money. An interesting side note, if you remember, Proposition 26 was adopted by the voters of California a couple of years ago, which prohibits you from charging anything over your actual cost, except there's a carve-out when it comes to things such as this. So you can. The question will be what you do with the money.
Thank you. Farron, the only thing that's missing is a Great American Campout.
At this time. Now, again, we said that we'd bring back anything that was going to, you know, be a large event in the future that we added. This is everything that, in speaking with the local groups, the past events we've done, and anything new that we've kind of brainstormed about so far that we foresee in the future for this year.
Okay. Kevin, anything?
Looks great. Good job.
Chris, anything?
Looks pretty good. Thank you.
Any public comment?
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
Farron, do we have the potential concert in July? Is that the July 19th one?
It is, yes.
Okay. That was my only question. I didn't see it on there.
I move we approve the calendar as presented with the addition of the Great American Campout.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Farron.
Thank you.
That was painless, huh?
Carol?
Yes.
The moment of truth.
Oh, did you
Let's see right here.
This is the moment of truth.
Yes.
As the board is well aware, some time ago, back in, I believe it was September, October time frame, came to the board seeking funds to renovate the community center. Our initial view of that was going to be basically painting the interior walls and replacing the flooring. The board wanted to see something a little bit more extensive in the renovations, and so allocated a larger amount of money, $80,000. You've all been in there, you know what has transpired. And with that, Farron and Dina have put together a fairly extensive spreadsheet that shows any of the debits and the credits, and Farron can go through them and answer any questions that you may have.
How come you didn't spend $80,000?
Yeah. Give her time.
She hasn't decorated her office yet.
And actually, we haven't. There's about $2,500 I added to that which is included in that 26 which is just any missed invoices that we might not have processed yet that might still be coming through credit card purchases.
Ooh, contingency fund. Huh?
Sure. Yeah. Or anything that we may need, small items, but most of our large ticket. Everything large ticket has been purchased. We've just got our bookcases for the reading room on Monday. That's included here. There is some left, and I know it's been brought up about some pool furniture. We're looking at some of those costs right now. We haven't spent it. We're just looking at costs. So we are under budget as of today.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You put up a display board for current events, I saw.
We put a bulletin board up.
That's nice.
There's not a calendar in there, per se, yet. It's you know, there's a lot of little things that we have on a task list that we'd like to do, but just a matter of time. But the board's up, it's hanging, and there are a few things that people have brought in to put in there.
Maria?
No, in fact, you know, I feel they did quite well because they went a little further than what they were going to do for our request with some of that outside work. So,
yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Farron, can you give the board, because they probably aren't aware of this, just a brief summary of the furniture and where you got it from?
Okay.
I mean, just to show you cost conscious and what we were trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, we really nickel and dimed everything with it. I have a mileage report that hasn't been submitted either. That's pretty extensive from all of my driving and pricing things out, trying to find the best deal. But we went and purchased materials ourselves to keep overhead out of contracts. We picked everything ourselves. We went to used furniture suppliers to furnish the building. Some of it's new, some of it's a lot of it's used. Our audio equipment was purchased direct. I mean, any way that we could to avoid adding, you know, somebody's profit margin on it, we kind of took it out. So, you know, it was a lot of work. The exterior was able to be added, which wasn't going to be done originally. We were just gonna do the front side of the building. We had enough money to replace siding. We didn't replace it all. We just replaced sections that needed to be replaced. We painted it all. There was a lot of electrical work that had to be upgraded through the building, data lines that had to be run, IT services, all of our flooring was redone. We did the bathrooms, which we weren't going to do originally, but it had come up at a meeting that we wanted something done. So that had new partitions, new flooring, new paint, some new fixtures. We didn't change the sinks, but we did what we could. We're still working on the reading room. We've had a large donation of books that have come in. And some other people are interested in bringing some more for take a book, leave a book program. The county librarian from Brentwood is very interested in a future date and seeing what kind of partnership we can do to have a satellite branch here eventually if we have more space. So it's been a great positive outpouring from the community and all of the different organizations who have come in. And usually the first thing out of anybody's mouth is like, where are we? You know, anybody who's seen it before is just like, this is a totally different place. So it's been great to see the responses from the renovation.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
Thank you.
While we're talking about the community center and the cleanup and the work you did, I received an email this week from the Dooleys. I guess their son lives where the fire was in the back where the palm trees are. Mm-hmm. They said there's a ton of debris in the back there.
There was a lot more.
We cleared that out last year. So when we bought that property, there was a water leak in the back on the irrigation, and we couldn't even get to it. So we spent, myself included with my staff, spent a week pulling palm tree fronds, pine needles, weeds from there. We took it out in dumpsters. I mean, we had to get big dumpsters to pull all of the debris that was from back there. And that was one of my comments after the fire, was like, that would have been so much worse 8 months ago.
Is there still much back there?
It's not a maintained area. So we go back there and clear it. The plan is, because we haven't owned it that long, but the plan is that you would do that seasonally. This isn't fire season yet. You would just clean it for that. So we would clean our weeds for fire season. you don't typically get growth right now, you know, so this is just like the fire department was mentioning, you don't see that kind of stuff during this time of the year, so it wasn't on our radar to maintain at this time. So but we cleared the trees. I mean, the trees were cleared out, the branches. The only things that weren't done were the palms, and that's because we can't put equipment back there, and our guys don't climb. So
barbecued now.
Yeah, well, there's still some left, and so we are going to look at, because we have to remove the ones that were burned, we are going to look at what the cost would be to remove the other palms that are back there, and that just have the canopy of dead fronds hanging on it still. So. To get rid of that, so we don't have that same issue again.
Put little LED lights on the end of the palm trees that burned. It looked just like those fake trees that people have in their front yard.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I do have one piece of news that has come up. We've been monitoring the pool, and it appears that the pool will need to be resurfaced before the season starts. So we are in the process right now of obtaining bids for that. And as soon as we know more, we will bring that back to you.
Gosh, that's good news.
I know. I'm sorry.
I just want to say one more thing. Just good job on cleaning that maintenance we did when we first got the property, because that fire could have got a house this time. Yeah. And so you thinned it out a lot, and I'm glad you guys are aware of that.
Yeah.
When you got in there, yeah, you jumped on that early.
Yeah.
So
there are still issues, and just so that you guys don't think it's okay, and not just debris, but we have retaining walls back there which were failing when we bought the property, so that there are multiple issues in that back area besides just the debris. So
is the retaining wall repair anything we can do in-house, or is
no?
That?
They're old wooden slatted retaining boards that were put up and held back with, I believe, railroad ties or tree stumps or timber.
Yeah.
And those have, over the years, they have sloughed on from the property owners, from the homes, onto our side. And so many of them are at a little bit of an angle, inverse angle, if you will. And so when the fire hit, it burned one of them, and that one is in jeopardy of collapsing as a result of the damage from the fire, which, by the way, we have also discussed this with our insurance company. So we'll see where that happens, if we can get anything from that.
Is there an update on the fire? Have they arrested anybody yet?
Got a suspect,
no.
I think, or one kid they're talking to.
No, we have had meetings. We've had discussions with the fire department as well as the sheriff's department, and they are following up. But as of today, no.
Okay. Well, great job.
Hey, good job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very pleased with everything.
I too would like to commend staff, not only the recreation and park side, but the finance side, for keeping track of all this stuff coming. You did a great job, and the community really appreciates the effort that you put in.
The building looks terrific.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
You're bang for the buck.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay. excuse me. Director's comments. Marianne?
I have none, thank you.
Nope. Yeah, I attended the Contra Costa County Special Districts Association on the 3rd of February. At that meeting, they chose their annual president, vice president, and Central Sanitation District took us on a tour of their facility, and naturally it's much, much bigger than ours. They are running about 45 million gallons a day of discharge. They do have had set up and acquired an old Shell pipeline. I don't know where it was going, but it goes for miles, and they were able to take that over, and they're using that for some of their reclaimed water and actually selling some water. We don't have that opportunity, but there'll be some things in the future, as staff said, that we can do out at our plant. So it was very worthwhile. They do a lot of things in-house, and I'm going to be continually asking questions as I go there to see if we can pick up some things that maybe we just don't know, because we're not that big yet. And we can find out what they've done for cost savings, bring something back that we can try. So anyway, that's my report on
Central
Sand.
I went to the ECCFPD meeting on Monday. Hugh gave you a pretty good rundown. You could tell by my questions what the things that I'm concerned about is regard to our district. The bottom line is that this is not going to pass. It's a no. Hugh tried to keep them from throwing good money after bad, and they just were determined to do that and to set out these cars that aren't going to change the survey. And so it may be that they may be able to postpone the vote till the November when you have a better turnout, and it may be that there's enough education out there to convince people that, that this isn't going to happen. But inevitably, we're the real challenge for the district is going to be how do we already have the lowest paid firemen in the district. So this myth that our guys are overpaid, they're paying more of their share of the pension than any other fire district in the area because they love working here. It's their home. They want to protect their families. The public doesn't realize that, and the public won't accept that, and the public isn't going to go for it. It's just the bottom line. So once you get rid of half your staff, it's going to be hard to keep the other half because they're going to say, well, how do we know you're not going to just keep cutting us? I got to go find a job and support my family. So we're going to be in a real problem. There's just no way around it. We could easily be without fire protection, and there's no law that says we have to have it. So we could have insurance rates going through the sky before too long because there's no law that mandates that the county provide us with fire protection.
I'm sure the other side of that is they're going to lay off all the guys they brought back last year who are never going to come back again. They're going to get tired of the yo-yo.
You know, what we'd like to see happen, now what I'd like personally to see happen is that they go down to a three-station model right away, but keep it manned, at least while we have the money to pay for the staff for the next, until November when the grant runs out. And let people get a taste of what it's like to have a three-station model when all of their response times go up. You know, and then we're not laying guys off, but yet we're closing down two of the stations to let everybody kind of feel what it's like. But they won't go for that. So anyway, we're in dire straits. It's a no win situation, and pray that the fire isn't in your house, yeah, or that it's not your relative that falls on the floor with a heart attack.
Chris,
I'll see you guys next Wednesday night at the town hall for the Delta.
So. Mm-hmm. General Manager's report.
None this evening.
Yeah. Stop it. Write that
it's
down.
A new year.
Let me write that down.
No, but it's February.
Is it April Fool's Day?
No.
Thank you very much. District legal?
I do have a report.
I know you do.
Yes. First of all, this is a milestone year for me. This marks my 25th year of practicing law. And I'm proud to say that I've spent all 25 years so far with New Miller and Beardsley, who is your lawyer. I am the face of New Miller and Beardsley at your meetings. However, you have seen other faces over the time, John Stovall, who retired, then Mike McGrew, who tragically died suddenly, which is what brought me here. However, New Miller and Beardsley is made up of a bunch of people who have worked with you, and you've seen my partner, Rod Atterbury, lately. You will be seeing a lot more of Mr. Atterbury. Just like circumstances caused me to come to you, one of my colleagues who is turning 80 this month, for some odd reason, has decided that he needs to slow down his practice. And that will have a direct impact on me. And there's only so much of me. I am fiercely loyal and territorial when I become involved with clients such as you. I get personally involved, so changes like this are not easy for me. I will miss you terribly. You may see me from time to time when I manage to push Rod into something else so I can come and see you. But I will say it has been a delight to work with all of you, with the district, Virgil over the years, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
And I'm sure I speak for the entire board by saying that our relationship with you is very special, and we have enjoyed it as much as you have, and we wish you nothing but the best.
I would second that as being, you know, it's been a great experience. We've enjoyed your interaction with us and the trust that we've developed. That's a big part of it. We take your word for it, and you've never let us down. So I just want to thank you personally for all that you've done to help me as an individual, as well as help the district.
Congratulations on your years of service, and I appreciate the personal involvement that you've taken with this board.
Thank you, and thanks for having our back.
Yeah.
Well, I still have.
I know we've given you a little gray hair from time to time.
loss of hair. It
cost me hair.
A little bit of hair.
That bangs when I started.
Yeah. You had an afro when you first came here. I haven't quite lost it all yet.
Yes.
Committee updates. We have no written reports, no updates. Correspondence. P6, we don't need that. Public records requests. Compensation requested of the general manager.
Back to the correspondence. The next P6 meeting, I believe, is Monday. I just want to remind those that want to attend that the location has been changed. Right here to the Center, yes.
Future agenda items, Marianne.
I have one, and maybe it's not due yet, but I think we had spoken about doing the review and having a session for our GM for his annual compensation and performance review.
When is it due?
I think it's past due.
It's past due.
Oh.
All righty. Bill, anyone?
No, I would say we should put that on the agenda also.
Two votes for that. Seven.
I have no future agenda items,
Chris?
Mr. President.
Nothing new today.
Nothing for me either. In that case, thank you for coming. We are adjourned.
We are impressed.
Pretty good.